The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. It really does. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Lynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm living the dream. How about you?
And good. With our producer, Backward
Hatman.
BHM.
BHM, there you go.
Or, because he wears his hat backwards, Johnny Bench.
There you go. That works.
If anybody can remember who Johnny Bench was. We're broadcasting live here from downtown Ready in KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM. We are your talk radio. We're also streaming live, KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or a comment, area code 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And if that is busy, 4566. And we're here this morning with Chris Kellstrom, who is our supervisor for District 5 here in Shasta County. We're happy to have him here. How are you, brother?
Good, good. Good morning, everybody. Just like old times, back here behind the microphone again.
Yeah,
there you go.
Chris used to substitute for us when Wynn and I'd have to go out of town. Chris, so he's no stranger to radio. In fact,
I have a face for it.
Just like us.
I don't know, buddy.
No. You're eye candy.
Yeah, you're eye candy. Yeah.
But, especially Terry.
But anyway, yeah.
Now that he's speechless, I can talk.
Well, I can do things off the air where you can't see.
I'm number one.
He's number one. Anyway, yeah, as we digress here already.
That didn't take long.
No, it did. Then we get like, Chris in here, we digress.
Just like old times.
Just like old times. You know, there's a lot going on here in Shasta County, and the fires that has just been something people are really concerned about. I have a couple questions on it, but Chris, give us a sort of an overview on what's going on with the fire now that you know.
Yeah. Well, right now the fire, I mean, it's, thank God, it's 30% contained, right. Which, when Cal Fire says contained, they have two words, controlled and contained. What they consider controlled is basically, you know, it's no longer active. They haven't mopped it up yet or whatever. That's what, you know, when they put containment, that means it's dead out. There's no chance of it coming back. Every spark is gone. I mean, so when they say contained, I mean, it's very contained. So right now there's probably more of the fire that's controlled, so to speak, under their terminology. There's still an active front on the eastern side. My personal beliefs on that, and this is completely personal, this is based on nothing other than what me looking at a map and knowing, you know, is the eastern front is right east of the Issue Wilderness Area. And the Issue Wilderness Area, when the fire goes through there, it's a wilderness area, federal government. They will not let you put in equipment. You can't even bring a chainsaw into it. You can't drop bombardment on it. Nothing, because it's a wilderness. So they, you know, they need to keep it, the wilderness area, pristine. Well, it's pretty pristine now. It's completely torched and burned through. Thousand Lakes Wilderness Area in Lassen National Forest was the same thing several years ago. You know, I used to hunt up there in his wilderness. You can't bring any equipment whatsoever. And once again, I mean, it's this utopian dream of environmentalists that think like this is going to go back to, you know, nature and right. It's going to be beautiful. Well, it's not being managed. So the Issue Wilderness Area was completely torched through. And now the active front of the fire is on the other side of that going into Plumas County. So, Shasta County right now looks like it's very safe. The evacuation orders have been lifted. People are back home. I was up at the pizza parlor on Friday night.
And it was just in Shingletown.
In Shingletown, yeah. Okay, Yes, yeah, yeah. So Shasta County, never reached Shasta County. We never had fire in Shasta County. It never crossed the lines. You know, lots of people were evacuated. We passed a state of emergency for Shasta County because, quite frankly, we're spending millions upon millions of dollars fighting this thing. And so hopefully we'll get some relief from FEMA or whatever, that we'll get some funds back to help, you know, repay us. But, yeah, so I never crossed Shasta County. So they have lifted most of the evacuation orders, most of them for Shasta County. People are back in their homes. There was a warning north of Highway 44, and there was an order south of Highway 44. Those, I think the south of 44 is still a warning, but people can go back home now. So it's great to see. I was up in Shingletown Friday night, and it was the first night the Pizza Parlor opened in a week, and it was spectacular to see people back and out having fun and, you know, enjoying life. So
did you enjoy yourself?
I did actually. In fact, I won in cribbage. I beat George in cribbage, and then I played Teddy, which nobody beats Teddy, but I beat Teddy, and then I beat George again. So yeah, it was fantastic. It was a great night. I was 3-0. So.
You know, you talk about this map, and I see this map, and I don't understand it. I don't know what area I'm in. They were showing a crawl. I was watching. Actually, I was watching a ball game. And there was a crawl underneath the ball game, and it was about, you know, area 1542M457. And when you look at the map, I mean, the average person doesn't know what the hell they're looking at. I mean, you have all these different colors, and you have yellow, and you have red, and you have green.
Can you just put your address in to get the area?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put
it in.
Because
people
that?
Knew that, because a lot of people were wondering what they do.
And it was confusing. Like, for instance, there's a zone called Cottonwood. I don't remember the number, but Cottonwood something or other. And it's basically above Rooster's Landing. You know, it's above the Balls Ferry boat ramp. It's north of there. And so the ones south of that and to the west of that are all Cottonwood, because that's this town of Cottonwood. Well, this one happens to be called a Cottonwood, you know, zone. And even though it's really not that close to Cottonwood, it just butts up to it. And then there's a Millville zone, the same thing. The next one up north, I think, is a Millville zone. Okay. So, I mean, we were getting calls. I'm getting calls from Cottonwood. Hey, is Cottonwood being evacuated? It's like, no, it's one zone that's under a warning, you know, right now. And it's not even really that close to Cottonwood. And then I got, oh my gosh, Durst Road is being evacuated. No, the Millville zone that isn't in Millville happens to touch Durst Road. But, you know, so there was a lot of confusion out there, a ton of confusion. I had people in Lake California that were just, oh my God, do we need to evacuate? You know, I one of our friends, you would know her if I said the name, but one of our friends was in Indiana at the time, and she texted me. She was like, oh my God, you know, is it going to hit Lake California? I said, it's a long ways from Lake California. The fire is moving north. I said, it would have to jump 36, and it'd have to jump the Sacramento River to get to you. You're in no danger. You're fine. If anything changes, I'll let you know, but you're fine. You know, don't worry about
it.
So yeah, there was a ton of confusion out there. And, you know, I ended up touring the fire lines Saturday afternoon. And I'll tell you what, last Friday night, I went to bed, and I thought, Manton's gone. You know, because my property, I'm up high on a hill. And the back of my property looks right to the east. So I was out there on a lounge chair, you know, until midnight. And I mean, the entire ridgeline for miles and miles and miles was on fire. And you could see the flames.
Oh, man.
I mean, miles. And it was all heading north. And the northern part of it looked like it was almost to Manton. And at that point, that fire was going 100 acres a minute.
Yeah.
It was going over 5,000 acres an hour. Wow. No one has ever seen anything like that here. They said the nearest thing they can compare it to was there was a fire on the prairie in Australia with like 70 mile per hour winds fanning it. But they had never seen a fire like this. That fire in 2 days, Thursday and Friday, that fire surpassed the Carr fire. The Carr fire took 39 days to reach 229,000 acres.
Right.
That fire went 239,000 acres in 2 days.
Holy cow.
I mean, it's amazing there was no loss of life. We did have some homes lost.
Yeah, I heard like 500 or 600 structures.
Which structures, you know, that's...
Right, that could be anything.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of little hunting cabins above Payne's Creek, right. You know, and those all got taken out. So each one of those is considered a structure, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, obviously every structure is bad. But, I mean, a garden shed is considered a structure, you know, a garage or whatever. So that can be, but they do break it down from homes too, and I can't remember the number of homes. I'm wanting to say there was like 130, 140, but I'm not positive. I went down to PG&E. They have an emergency camp down there, which, wow, kudos to them. I mean, this thing was impressive as heck, and it was hard to believe that it wasn't there 2 days before. I mean, they had a huge mess hall. They had all these trailers with different, you know, safety and electrical and, you know, information, clerical. I mean, and it was just that whole, like, city inside that they had just thrown up together. Well, they had a map there, and they did lose a lot of homes in Cohasset, But there's actually an island in the middle of that fire because they did save a whole bunch of that. You know, they were able to get around and save it. So you look at the thing and it's just this giant blackened mess with this little island in the middle that they saved a bunch of homes. Yeah. So, but yeah, it ended up going north. When I toured it on Saturday, so Friday night I'm sitting on my back patio and I'm thinking, you know, I'm just praying. I'm thinking Manton's gone and Shingletown will be gone by the morning. You know, and the way the fire was moving, that would have happened. And thank God, 1 a.m., for whatever reason, the fire just laid down. And it just laid down on itself, and the conversion layer went down, the big cumulus clouds went away. And the smoke, when it lays down like that, the smoke is kind of like a lid on a pot. You know, right. It just kind of slows everything down. And then the north winds picked up and blew it back onto itself. So it pretty much stopped the northern progression for the most part at that point. I mean, obviously, it still kept growing. We're at over 400,000 acres now, but it kind of everything slowed down, and I woke up in the morning, and I looked at the smoke layer out my window, and I just, you know, thank God. I mean, thank God. And so when I went and toured it on Saturday, there was, you know, I saw the lines. I saw that it had not jumped into Shasta County. We had no fire in Shasta County. I was so relieved, you know, and there was one spot above Inskip, and it jumped 30.
Now, where's Inskip?
So it's basically north of Paynes Creek.
Okay.
And so it jumped 36, north of Paynes Creek, it jumped 36 for miles. So there's miles of downed guardrail laying on the ground. It burned all the posts. It jumped there for miles and miles and miles. They kept it on the southern end, and then that night it jumped, the night before I was there, it jumped at Paynes Creek and right at the fire station. And they saved most of the homes in Paynes Creek. The place across the street got burned down, and then it went up into what they call Inskip. So when we toured it on Saturday, there was one little persistent patch of fire by Inskip, and they had five dozers on it. They had crews, the three or four crew, hand crews on it, running hose up the hill. And I mean, we're talking a pretty small area. It was, you know, about as wide as this studio, probably, or wide as this office. And they had a bunch of people on it. And I really thought that they'd have it out that afternoon. Well, the next morning, they had a spot fire in front of it. Every time they'd have a spot fire, you know, then that would push the lines closer to Shasta County.
Because it
was going straight towards Manton. And it wasn't a wall of flame. It wasn't a whole fire front. It was just this one little persistent pocket going up a little canyon or a little draw. But then it jumped lines again. So every time it would get closer to Shasta County, you know, people don't know what's going on. And,
sure.
And they'd kind of, you know, get panicky because it's like, oh my gosh, it's only 1 mile from Manton. And it's like, you know, yeah, be concerned, be worried, but it's not a wall of flame. It's not the whole front. It's just this one little pocket. And they finally, I went up there and toured it on Thursday. And they finally got that part out, which, you know, thank goodness. So if you look at the map, you'll see on the northern edge, there's a little finger that just sticks up and it just keeps going towards Shasta County. So that was the Inskip area. But after Thursday, the majority of the fire was all on the eastern side and heading towards Plumas County. And it got into the Mill Creek drainage, and they knew it was in there, but it's so steep and so rugged and rocky, they really couldn't get personnel in there. So they made contingency plans, and you know, they're doing a fantastic job, amazing.
So were they not able to bomb it as much as we think they should? I mean, from my perspective, why aren't they bombing?
Because
they probably are.
Yeah, they are, and where they can. Like, for instance, Thursday, Friday night, that plume of smoke was going due north.
Yeah,
and they needed to get on the northern front of that fire, and they can't.
Yeah.
They couldn't.
Yeah.
And so the same thing, when the winds start blowing to the, you know, from the southwest to the northeast,
right,
they can't get in front of it. They can't bomb it when the smoke's so thick they can't see it. So,
So
as soon as they could, I mean, if Saturday morning, I'm sure you guys might have noticed, because I live in the flight path.
Yep.
I mean, Saturday morning,
ditto,
every 5 minutes, a bomber is going over the top of my roof.
That's all you heard.
Exactly.
Over here,
and that's because the north wind picked up and blew that smoke back, you know, and blew the smoke back away so the bombers can get in there. So, everybody did a tremendous job. I went down to the fire camp on Thursday, and I mean, there's fire engines from Santa Clara, LA.
What fire camp did you go to?
This was in the fairgrounds in Tama County.
Tama County, okay.
Yeah, so, and then I also went to Butte County on the next day to the emergency camp for PG&E. The amount of fire engines there. I mean, there's place, I didn't even recognize some of them. I'm like, where in the heck is that place at? You know, I think they were from out of state, you know. I mean, it's just, so there was 6,000 personnel on that fire that were working that fire. So I was there Friday,
That's huge.
Yeah, it's awesome. So it's looking great. I mean, obviously anything can still happen, you know, but it's looking great.
Where in Chico did that start? Did it start in Hooker?
Bidwell County.
Bidwell Park.
Yeah. Okay. Some
guy pushing a car.
Convicted felon pedophile.
Yeah.
Was mad at his mom.
Yeah.
So he set her car on fire and pushed it over a ravine.
Canyon, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the three strikes and you're out guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. He better hope that nobody in jail has a relative that has their house burned.
Well, Butte and Tehama really need to go after him as well.
Absolutely.
And since it didn't hit Shasta.
Yeah, Tehama County lost over 300,000 acres. I mean,
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The majority of it was in Tehama County.
Wow, that's amazing. All that timber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just think of everything that's out there that, you know, just totally wiped out. And now you're going to live with the repercussions of it for years to come because it takes years for that stuff to even start.
But fortunately, not a single loss of life. I mean,
that's a miracle.
Yeah.
That is.
And when we were turning the fire lines, a chief told me, I think I can say this, but he was telling me that somebody had reported a guy that they hadn't seen him, and they thought he might be stuck behind fire lines and whatever, and so they had to extend man hours and, you know, power to go down there and try to find the guy. Well, it turns out the guy died 3 years ago, so.
Oh.
Yeah. No wonder you hadn't heard from him.
And we wonder about the voter rolls.
Yeah, let's check and see if he's voting.
You know, the nice thing about this, Chris, and thank you for all this. This is great information. Were there other supervisors or officials that were with you in your travels? It seems like you did a lot of this solo, but were there other people who got engaged at all?
Yeah, so the CEO was he was with me and
Rickard?
Dave Rickard, and okay. I mean he's doing a fantastic job. I mean we couldn't have picked a better guy. We honestly couldn't have.
No, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. And so he was with me on the fire lines on Saturday, and then he actually drove us down, him and I both down to Butte County on days are getting mixed up at this point. I think it was Friday. I think it was Friday that we went down to Butte County and toured the PG&E thing. And in Butte County there was a supervisor elect, and I can't remember his name. He's in the Corning area, and I asked him, "What's your area?" I mean, and he said he's in the Corning area, and I'm like, "Okay, so haven't seen the other ones." I heard the Tehama County supervisor is going to some of the briefings. I don't know. I haven't run into her yet, but you know, whatever. It's not my business. I'm worried about my people. So
right.
You know.
Well, I think what you did was a service to all Shasta County.
Absolutely,
it was great. I mean, you know, as we are sitting here, I'm watching. Firemen jogging
around the block. Yep,
and it's like, yes, you know, it was. I remember during the car fire, all of a sudden when the fire trucks were coming down 273, and they were heading north, and there had to be, I counted 60 of them, and it was like seeing the cavalry. It's like I mean, those guys deserve everyone's prayers, thanks, and love.
Admiration.
Admiration. They have been amazing. You brought up a good point. We seem to always have this problem with who has jurisdiction over a fire. I mean, it's some of the crazy, crazy stuff that goes on, like you're talking about as far as the federal government in the wilderness area. I mean, that's just borderline insanity.
The reason I bring that up or mention it, because, again, my ex-father-in-law, and we're talking 40 years ago, he was in a riding group where they rode horses and they also rode four-wheelers and whatever. So the horse riding group wanted to clean the Thousand Lakes Wilderness area because you couldn't get down the trails. I mean, it's so thick and overgrown in there and down trees, and it was just a mess. You couldn't get a horse down the trails. Okay. So they went to the Forest Service, and they said, hey, we'd like to volunteer our services and our time and go clear these trails because you can't ride through them right now. And the Forest Service is like, oh, man, that would be great because we don't have the manpower to do that. We don't have the funding, so that would be fantastic. How are you going to do it? They said, well, we'll just pack our chainsaws in on our horses, and then we'll cut all the trails out. Oh, no, you can't use a chainsaw in a wilderness area, you know. And it's like,
we can let it burn.
Exactly. And it's like, you can't give somebody a special permit for a weekend to use a stupid chainsaw because you're, you know, but
just say yes.
I know.
Just say yes.
I know. So,
I mean, are you kidding?
And that has burned since, too. I mean, I used to hunt in there, and I mean, it was just so thick and overgrown. It was ridiculous.
But the thing is, the feds don't own the land.
I know.
We own the land, and so they're not managing it properly, so therefore we should kick them off the management team, and we should take it back, and we figure out a way to make it happen.
One step at a time, one step at a time.
Well, that's a huge step that needs to happen. We need to kick them down the road.
We are making some progress on that. That was one of the things during the campaign that I had said. I wanted to make a fire ordinance and make the federal government take care of their lands. You know,
right.
And of course, I had some of these yahoos, these trolls that, you don't have jurisdiction. You can't tell the federal government. Well, guess what?
You do.
It happened in Trinity County. In Trinity County wrote a fire ordinance, and in Trinity County, the federal government, whether it be BLM or Forest Service, tried to work within that county ordinance to keep the fuels down to what that ordinance said. Mm-hmm. So they did try to work with the local jurisdiction. So as we speak, of course, he's a little busy right now. As we speak, we have a gentleman in Shasta County Fire, or Cal Fire, under the chief, who is writing an ordinance for Shasta County. So we will get that fire ordinance out there, yeah.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. That'll be happening timely, I'm assuming.
It's like I said, he's got other functions. He's got other duties.
Yeah.
And right now, this is going to be on the back burner for this week because Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, but yes, there is a fire ordinance that we're going to write, and that's one of the things is I want the like the national parks, they keep Lassen pretty clean. I mean, it's a pretty well maintained. Lassen National Forest, there's places that are disasters and there's some places that are great and there's some places that are really bad. Shasta Trinity National Forest, same thing. There's some places that are just horrific that need to be thinned, need to be cleared. So hopefully we'll get this fire ordinance written and then, we can put a little pressure on them we'll ask them to work with us and please, get your forest cleared, get the fuels off there,
Tomorrow.
We're working on it, but like I say, one step at a time, step at a time. So,
well, that's what it takes, just a little bit of action here and there to get things done.
Yeah, I mean, nobody could have predicted that person would do what he did because he was mad at mama.
Right.
Right.
And
it can happen, somebody walking down the trail and flick a cigarette out could do the same thing.
So when you are talking about jurisdiction, so there has been a problem in the past with the Department of Forestry, and I hurt one of my constituents' feelings one day because I mentioned the Department of Forestry, and he was a very proud retiree from the Department of Forestry. But then we got to talking in private on the side, and I said, well, when did you retire? Well, he retired like in the early 90s. Well, prior to that, the Department of Forestry was one of the only federal agencies that actually were in the black, that made money. They were the only ones. I mean, everybody else was, used taxpayer dollars. They actually made money. They were profitable because they had timber sales. But in 92, with the Spotted Owl decision, they stopped all timber sales. And I mean, this is what we're living now. 32 years later, this is what we're living from that decision.
Yeah.
So now the Department of Forestry, they get paid. They're basically a firefighting agency. So the more acres burned, the more funding they get. So now I'm hearing story after story after story in the past of them just let it burn. Try to direct it away from cities and towns and houses, but otherwise let it burn because the more acres burn,
the more money they make.
Campfire is a perfect example of that. Now our fire chief has a very good relation with our local Department of Forestry head, and he takes charge. So Cal Fire is in charge of this fire. Mm-hmm. When we were out on the fire lines, I saw a Department of Forestry truck, and I said, how are you getting along with them? And he goes, we're getting along fine. I'm in charge. So the Department of Forestry is out there, and I mean, they're helping, and they're, doing their job or whatever, but the Cal Fire is, the agency in charge of the thing, and that's why they're fighting this as hard as they are and as bad as they are. So, and again, I'm not bashing the Department of Forestry. There's great people that work from one of my good friends as a captain on in one of the things. So, I mean, they're great, but I have heard too many stories for them to be just a coincidence of, equipment sitting on trailers, while the fire is burning and they're not unloading the bulldozers and they're not sending out the water.
Barrett has had some really good subjects on planes being ready to roll. And then by the time they're ready to roll, it's dusk and you can't take a plane up.
Yep.
And I spent the whole day just sitting there. It's
a colossal
crazy.
Waste of money.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that, what we're going to do is go off to our one and only break. We're here with Chris Kellstrom, Supervisor, District 5, Shasta County, and a patriot. Looking out for us, folks, these are the kind of people we need to get elected. So
that's right.
With that, we'll go off for our first break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Old man, that old man, spent his life living off the land. Dirty hands and a clean soul. It breaks his heart seeing foreign cars. Back
Hiya everybody, RC with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, El Pulpo by AJ Fernandez. Receiving a 94 rating, El Pulpo is outstanding, balanced, layered, bold, or just a few words used to describe the powerful character of such a cigar from the factory of AJ Fernandez. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
This is Steve Clark, owner of Minuteman Press. You know us for doing things like business cards, booklets, and direct mail, but we do something else you may not know about. If you are missing a person or a pet, we want to help reunite you with your loved one by offering free color flyers. Just call Minuteman Press at 221-0400. We are so grateful for the support of this community, and we are happy to be able to give back. So again, if you are missing a person or a pet, please call Minuteman Press for some free flyers. 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Minuteman Press.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
I'm Glenn Hayward, Executive Director of the Reading Rancheria Tribal Health System. I want to invite you to the 25th Annual Reading Rancheria Discovery Health Fair, August 7th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy this exciting day filled with free health screenings, information, craft vendors, kids' activities, and so much more. All ages are welcome to this free event, and it's open to the public. Brought to you by the Reading Rancheria Tribal Health System, Reading Rancheria, and Wind River Resort and Casino. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
No, it's not your mom's, and we didn't get that.
Yeah.
Yeehaw! Yippee-ki-yay! We are here with Rootin' Tootin' Chris Kelsner.
Yes, sir. Hawk boyfriend.
And Chris, again, thank you so much for that information you gave us. I mean, very informative on the fire, what's going on, up-to-date stuff. And folks, I would suggest that you share this archive.
Yep.
With everybody you know, and get it out to people, because I believe this is the best information we've heard from anybody.
Right, any source, yeah. This has
and,
been
of
great.
Course, he's also a public servant.
Yes, yep.
So, you know, somebody who really is a public servant. Really
yep.
Gets his butt out there, gets in the car, gets in the truck, and goes, does this stuff. Anyway,
yep.
With that, and thank you for everything you've done, there is a word that has become very common over the last 5 or 6 years. That is troll.
Troll.
Yeah, I just shared a picture of one with you.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'd like to know what's going on with the troll.
Yeah. So we'll back up a little bit. So Thursday and Friday, you know, that fire, like I say, surpassed the car fire in 2 days. So Friday night, I'm sitting on my back patio till midnight thinking Manton's gone, Shingletown might be gone, and then da-da-da. So Saturday, I went and toured the fire lines with the CEO and our county fire chief, Sean O'Hare, and I got behind fire lines or whatever. And I mean, I was just, all three of us were just so relieved, because I mean, I fully expected to see sure. walls of flame like I saw on my back patio the night before. And I mean, we were so relieved. We saw the one little spot in Inskip, and I mean, it was just, they, you know, I'm not going to say they had it under control, but it was now doable. It was, they were actively fighting in it, and it was, you know, it had jumped the freeway, and it wasn't, you know, they'd gotten that under control. I mean, the three of us were just so relieved. I mean, just absolutely so relieved, and all of us just were elated with what we saw that day. So I get back, we met in the Palo Cedro fire station. So he drops me back up at the Palo Cedro fire station. And I have a lot of friends up there in Shingletown. I mean, a lot that I've made since the campaign, and that even some that I had before and whatever. And a lot of them were evacuated. So I started reaching out to them to let them know what I saw, to give them a little bit of sense of relief. Everybody's scared.
Sure.
I mean, I was terrified the night before, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just so elated and happy with what I saw the next day. So one of the people I reached out to was the owner of the Pioneer Pizza up there, which is open, by the way. I was there Friday night. So Pioneer Pizza, and I went there the Friday before that when that fire was going, because we had a meeting up there, and I thought, well, I'll go to Pioneer Pizza and I'll have something to eat first, and then I'll go to my meeting. Well, she had just left because she went to evacuate and close the place down on Friday afternoon the week before. And, you know, so I knew where she lived. I knew where her and her husband lived. And I came up their road, specifically came up their road into Shingletown with the fire chief behind the lines. So I reached out to her and I said, hey, just to let you know, the fire has not reached Shasta County. There's no damage in Shasta County. It has not jumped the line. And I drove up your road and everything was in great shape. I mean, there's no damage and da da da. And she was so appreciative. I mean, she's a total sweetheart. And she's like, oh, thank you so much, Chris. You know, I've been so worried. And, you know, this is the best news I've had. You know, finally I feel a little bit of relief and da da da. And she says, can I share this? And I said, yes, please do. Cause, you know, I am not home yet. I can't do it myself, you know?
Right. Sure.
So, and then I started calling people. I started calling some other people that I knew that had been evacuated and let them know, hey, this is what I saw. This is what's going on. This is what I, you know, da da da. So before I could even get home, this little troll that I sent you the picture of, which she should just have troll stamped on her forehead, but this little troll reaches out to me, and she sends me the screenshot of my friend's comments that she had shared in the fire pages, and she said, did you say this, and if so, is it true, and why aren't you making this public? Why are you just sharing this with your friends? And I replied back to her, I said, I'm not even home yet. I said, I'm still driving. Can you give me a minute? When I get home, I will make it public. I go, geez. And she says, oh, geez, sorry for me wanting information. And it's ripping me, right? So I get home, and I was pretty careful with my words. I wanted people to feel a sense of relief, but I did not want them, you know, right. I in no way was saying, hey, ignore evacuation overs. There's right. no chance right. the fire is right. sparking back up.
Hope.
I mean, right. I was pretty careful with my words, and I believe I said, hey, I toured the fire lines, so everybody knows the fire has not jumped in Shasta County, has not touched Shasta County yet. It did not get into Manton. It's still on the outskirts of Manton, you know, da da da. And I said, what I saw today gave me a huge sense of relief, and I said, and I am going to be able to sleep well tonight knowing that my people in Shingletown and Manton are safe for now. That's what I posted. Very simple post. This little troll piece of garbage. You know, you need to let everybody know that they still need to follow evacuation. I guarantee you she's still wearing a mask. I guarantee you she still wears a mask. So you need to let everybody know that they need to follow evacuation orders. I said, I never said anything about evacuation orders. So I go back and I post. I said, yeah, you still need to follow evacuation orders. And we're obviously not out of the woods. Anything can happen. But for now, what I saw, it's great. And I have a huge sense of relief. And then I start getting attacked by, again, and let me back up. 99% of the people were absolutely appreciative and supportive sure. and fantastic. It's that 1%, the same ones that show up at the Board of Supervisors meeting, yeah. that 1 or 2%. So I got people in Manton going, oh, he probably doesn't even know half of Manton is Tama County. He doesn't care about Tama County, da da da. And I'm like, but people, you know, and then, oh, you're awful premature on your statements. Premature on what I saw and how I felt? What's premature about that? I didn't tell anybody, ignore evacuation orders. I didn't tell anybody there's no chance of this ever getting out of control again. I never said any of that. I just told you that I was relieved from what I saw that day. Yep. So the next day I get an update from the fire chief. So the fire chief pretty much updates me every day. I mean, if anything happens, he updates me. I mean, and if nothing's happening, you know, I don't bother him. He doesn't bother me. He's got other things to do, and he's a very busy man. But for the most part, I pretty much get an update every day. So the next day, I get an update. So I put in her little chat group. Now, this is a fire chat group, by the way. This is like a Shingletown scanner fire chat something. I don't know. And this little troll doesn't even live there anymore. She moved away 3 years ago. So I put in the chat group, I said, you know, I got an update from the fire chief today, and I said, the way I was attacked in here yesterday, I said, I would like to share it, I said, but the way I was attacked, I said, I think I'll just have to keep it to myself. So she boots me out of the fire group chat, right? The county supervisor, who has been behind fire lines, who gets an update daily from the chief, and you're going to boot me out of your fire chat group because you don't like me. Oh, gee. I guess I won't wait for my Christmas card, you stinking troll. So then my friends, which I have some friends up there, and let me tell you, you don't mess around with Shingletown people, right? I got some very good friends up there, so they just went after her too. She booted all them out. So all the locals, all the people that have been up there, people that are in, she boots them out, boots the county supervisor out. It's like, you talk about cutting your nose off to spite your face. Oh, which with gosh. A face like that, you should cut your nose off. But anyway.
They just show their true colors.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable.
It's
you know,
crazy how people can act and react.
Unbelievable. And, again, this is not – you know. In fact, somebody even told me that I should take it down as political or something. Political? On what I saw and how I felt? I mean
– oh, my gosh.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, and then another one – and she was actually on a friend's page. It was one of her friends. Tells me that I should pull that down, that I'm being premature. And I'm like, premature on what I saw and how I felt? I'm not sure what's premature about that. I didn't tell anybody – that there's no danger anymore. I didn't tell anybody, ignore evacuation orders. I told you what I saw and how I felt and that I was relieved and that I felt Shingletown and Manton were safe for now.
Plain
and
simple.
And they were. And that night I did sleep well. And you know what? They were perfectly fine the next morning. You know, sure, their damage was, you know, we're still not out of the woods. But, I mean, unbelievable. You know, it's just unbelievable. So how partisan.
No matter how hard you try, you still deal with idiots like that. And they're everywhere.
Which, you know, it's like, I mean, Frankie just stuck his head in the door during the break, you know, and it's like, that's who I'm doing it for, you know,
right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
These people, go pound sand, I couldn't care less, you know, you're 1-2% of the population, and who cares, you know. So, my people up in Shingletown, when I was up there Friday, I mean, it was just so great to see people getting back to normal, normalcy. I mean, they're back in the, you know, having a beer, playing pool, you know, playing cribbage, obviously. I mean, it was just like, it was just fantastic to see things back, starting to get back to normal.
Well, that sense of relief.
Absolutely.
You know, when they're finally, okay, the pressure's off, the tension's off, they can relax a little bit and get back to what you say is normal, you know, hanging out the pizza parlor or whatever, just being home.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they have critters to vacate. You know, they got to get all their critters out of there. I mean, you've got horses and cattle, sheep, goats. I mean, who knows?
I had a call on that one, too, from a resident up there. And I mean, you know, and it's very nice, and she was very frustrated, but you know, here's the deal. Tehama County and Chester County and Butte County, they were taking people in behind the lines to feed their animals. If they left their animals behind, you could make an arrangement to get back behind fire lines with an escort and feed your animals and then go back home.
Okay.
Well, she was complaining that, you know, they only gave her 20 minutes and she kind of wanted to milk her cow and then why couldn't they just drop her off? And one of the guys actually left his car running while she was feeding the animals and this and that. And I'm like, and then she complains, you know, she said, she made the accusation that, well, I know how government works and they're just milking this thing. And I'm like, believe me, they're not milking this thing. These guys are working their tails off, you know.
Yeah.
And then she makes the comment that she needs to water her garden, and if she doesn't water her garden soon, then pretty soon she's not going to have a garden at all. I said, you do understand that if that fire had kept going the way it was going Friday night, you wouldn't have any of these problems to worry about because you would have been gone. I mean, let's count our blessings here, you know.
Right.
I have another guy that called me, and he was complaining because he'd been calling the sheriff because he saw suspicious cars, and there was a car speeding down a road from a drug house, and the sheriff deferred him to CHP, and CHP told him they didn't have anybody to answer the calls, and he's calling me to complain. I said, sir, you do understand there's a 400,000-acre fire just south of you, right? I mean, they got a little bit more things to do right now than a speeding car from one of your neighbor's house. I mean, so, yeah, it's I don't know, it's kind of comical. It's like, you know, I want people to have a sense of relief, but let's not get so petty that, you know.
Right.
You know, so anyways, but yeah, things are going good now.
Yeah, you know, and it's so true because, you know, looking at, I found that you just can't please some people. You know,
well, that's true.
Keep hearing, reach across the aisle. Let's reach across the aisle. Let's get some civility here. They don't want civility.
Exactly.
They don't want you to, you can reach across the aisle, but compromising means you do what they want. There is no compromise. There is no give and take.
Working
there is no
together.
Common ground.
Yeah, that working together component that doesn't work.
I mean, to hell with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I think that people need to use a little more common sense.
Well, some people just don't have it.
They don't have it. It's right.
That's the sad part.
You know, that new commercial about the brain, have you seen that?
No.
Do you need a brain? And it talks about all the side effects you could have. Go see your doctor and get a brain. It's a parody on the, you know, the drug commercials, you know.
Okay.
Take this for your psoriasis or whatever the case. Okay, so get a new brain. It's hilarious. And, you know, one of the side effects is diarrhea.
So to have
the
brain.
It's really funny, you know. It's so true because people, I mean, they just don't think.
No.
You know?
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, so things are looking good in my district. I did not cross the fire line.
I was going to say, you're not burned up, so you're doing good.
Oh, man, Friday night, I was going to bed just so sad and melancholy. I'm thinking, Manton's gone, you know, Manton's gone. And had it continued on for another few hours the way it was going, it would have. And an hour after I went to bed, it laid down. Otherwise,
Once it would hit Manton, then it's just going to fly up the hill to Shingletown.
Oh, I know. And
just scares the hell out of me for all those people.
I had a friend of mine on a cruise ship in Alaska, you know, having the time of his life. I mean, he got off on Ketchikan and went up a creek somewhere and caught a salmon. And then the cruise ship cooked it for him. And I mean, he's just there having the time of their life, you know, greatest vacation ever. And he lives north of there, kind of Oak Run area, Whitmore, Millville. And, you know, he's reaching out to me. He's like, dude, am I going to have a home to come home to? And this was Friday night when I'm on the back patio watching that fire. And I mean, I didn't have the heart to tell him, but it's like, if this had kept going for another day like that, no, you wouldn't have had a home to come home to.
And that's a stretch.
And that's a stretch. Absolutely.
Mileage wise, anyway, but it could easily happen.
100 acres a minute. That fire was spreading 100 acres a minute.
That's insane.
It is crazy. They've never seen anything like it. The chief was telling me that, you know, the Butte County chief, the Tame County chief, and himself, you know, they'd have their briefings down there, and all three of them are like, this is unprecedented.
Was it creating its own weather pattern? Or the winds and everything else?
I mean, you could see it. I had pictures. I mean, you could see these huge cumulus clouds above the smoke. Yeah. And I mean, the smoke was, you know, hundreds of feet high, and these cumulus clouds are thousands of feet above it. And I mean, it was creating thunderstorms, and it was creating lightning. It was creating tornadoes in there. I mean, it was just insane.
So similar to the firenados that we had here in Redding when it came through and wiped us out.
Yeah, but this was a huge, much huger front. So
So
he's on a cruise ship, and I'm like, oh man, you know, and I didn't have heart to tell him.
Yeah.
You know, so I told him, I said, listen, if it gets to Shingletown and it's heading your way, you know, we will get to your house and, you know, get your gun safe or whatever you want us to get out of there. We will get it out of there for you, you know. And again, thank God. I woke up Friday or Saturday morning, and I was like, thank God. I mean, I just laid down and, you know, and so I would give him daily updates too. I'm like, you got nothing to worry about. It hasn't even crossed the Shasta County, let alone Manton, let alone Shingletown, let alone, you know, your place. We're good for now. We're good. You know, so it was a huge relief. Yeah. Yeah. I had a lady that, in Tama County, she was in Lake California. She was back in Indiana at the time. And she, you know, reaches out to me because, I mean, all these people are, oh my God, Lake California is going to burn. And like, relax. It's not anywhere near there, and it's going the other way. It has to jump 36, and it has to jump the Sacramento River, and it's not going that way. It's going north, you know, north, northeast. So, you know, she's like, oh, thank you. And I had another lady that lives out there, and she had to work. She's like, I don't know if I have to work tonight. Give me updates. And I'm like, you're fine. You're okay where you live. It's not going to get to Lake California. You're perfectly fine, you know. So, yeah, there's a lot of panic out there, and as well there should be. I mean, it was a scary, scary deal. Oh, my gosh.
Well, when you see it, you can see it, you know, when it seems like it's closer than it actually is sometimes, depending on your depth and the time of day. If it's nighttime and you see the glow of the fire and everything else and the smoke, it really does mess with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like,
and a
oh,
lot of
crap,
those zones, you know, the names of the zones. I mean, when you have a zone that's called Millville, well, then people in Millville get a little nervous when Millville zone is under evacuation order, you know, and they're thinking, well, do we need to evacuate? No, but this is one zone. It's way to the east of you.
Yeah.
You know, Cottonwood, same thing. It's one zone. It's way to the north of you, but, you know, it's does say Cottonwood. It'll say Cottonwood such and such, evacuate.
So those zones are always the same zones, no matter what. Everything stays the same, always.
It's like the new system where these are the zones, so find out what zone you live in. So everybody knows your zone. So.
Okay, so everybody should be able to do that. Do you know, is there like an 800 number, or is there an online
I think
component?
It's an online thing, and now that you say it, I don't have it at the tip of my fingers, already forget it. But I think you can go to Cal Fire and probably find it.
And you guys can announce that in the board meeting, too.
True.
Because then that way it goes out to everybody. You just say, hey, this is where you can go to find out, then that way.
Which we did when we did our emergency order. We passed Wednesday. We passed an emergency declaration. You know, we had to give the power to the sheriff to pass that. And you know, and again, I did an interview with one of the TV guys afterwards, and you know, I wanted everybody to know this is purely financial. This is not, you know, it's not in Shasta County. We have not had damage in Shasta County. This is purely financial. We are spending millions upon millions of dollars, and we want to get reimbursed. That's why we're declaring an emergency, you know, declaration. So you know, so anyways, but yeah, costs a lot of money.
So you're talking to the press?
Yeah. Actually, I you know, I get along pretty well with the press. In fact, I shout out to Annalise Pierce of all people. I mean, Annalise Pierce, you know, we've had our, I shouldn't say differences, but we've had a couple discussions in the past. I mean, you know, and, she came up to me and she had seen my posts in those fire pages that I got kicked out of. And, she came up to me and she goes, hey, Chris, just, you know, I read your post. She goes, I took it for what it was worth, and I thought it was great. And you know, and she goes, "You didn't say anything wrong in there, or whatever." And I'm like, "Well, thank you, Annalise. That was very nice of you." So, no, so far I get along pretty well with the press. So, yeah, we'll see. I just did an interview
for today. Anyway.
I did an interview. In fact, yesterday afternoon, I got a message, and you know, they wanted to do an interview. So I'm like, "Okay, sure." So I go down there and I speak for probably 10 minutes, and of course, I speak pretty fast. So that's, you know, 20 minutes worth of stuff. And I watched the news last night, and literally it was 4 seconds, I think, of what I said was on there. Whatever.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
It is what it is. Yeah. I mean, they have to edit it, and I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, but when they edit out content and everything that's important and just let you talk about something, or, you know, you flippantly say something or whatever, that's what they capture.
And of course, this was the weekend, so the, you know, the executive producer that I'm friends with wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, it's kind of a different crew or whatever, so no big deal. I don't care, but it was like, when I watched it, I'm thinking, I drove clear up to Reading. I mean, I took a shower and changed and drove clear up to Reading.
And it wasn't even the first of the month.
Yeah, exactly. So. I took a shower for this. It's kind of like when the women say, I shaved my legs for this.
Yeah, funny. I remember doing an interview with Mike Mangus on the State of Jefferson, and it was he had me there for over an hour, and it was a minute and a half.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sometimes you really – and you know, it's just that can be a little frustrating.
I'll tell you what, I'll give a shout-out to Mike Mangus since you brought his name up. So
okay.
He interviewed me on this whole Avelo Airlines thing, and we went down there.
Yeah,
and we did that interview.
Yeah.
And when we got done, he goes, you know, you made some accusations there. He says, I need to talk to the other side. I said, by all means, Mike, please do, you know. So they left the juiciest parts in that interview that, you know, he did. And then he went and interviewed them. And the poor gal, Lauren, she does a fantastic job. She's assistant airport manager in Reading, and she does a fantastic job. Well, I was going to work the Avelo flight the next day, so I wanted to go down there and meet her and run it past her, and so I walked in and I said, hey, I'd like to see Lauren if she's available. I said, I'm Chris Kellstrom, and that poor girl comes out of her office. She looked like a deer in the headlights. You know, and the boogeyman showed up, and she took me to this office and closed the door, but you know, fortunately, within about 5 minutes, I said, look, I'm not here to harm. I'm not here to hurt. I want to help. I want to be involved. I want to help. I said, I'm here to help, you know, and within about 5 minutes, she was relaxed and just total sweetheart.
What's the latest on that?
So the latest, Avelo's gone. They're gone. So we're, yeah, they're gone. They've made their decision. They're gone, and they don't back down off a decision like that. So they are gone for now. So what we're trying to do now is trying to entice them back. Now, I just got word yesterday, and I need to verify this, but the Arcata Airport, I thought Trago Dugan did Arcata too, but Avelo does their own baggage handling in Arcata. Arcata is now going to 7 days a week flights. Three flights a day, I believe, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Little Arcata. And here we have three flights a week,
right,
and we couldn't keep them here.
What the heck? And Medford is equivalent to us, and they've got how many flights out of there?
Now, I will say this, and Tanessa had a good point on that, because Tanessa Audette and I had lunch, and speaking of deer in the headlights, she was pretty pretty tense when we first sat down, because
yep.
I got some big shoes, and sometimes I step on toes, but it happens. But by the end of the lunch, I mean, she was, you know, once again, we were on the same page. She was very helpful, and it's like, I'm here to help. I want to help, mm-hmm. you know, and we talked about money, and I said, you know, I said, you guys don't have the money. The city of Reading doesn't have the money. The county has more money than the city of Reading. I said, and we're willing to spend some money, but we want a seat at the table, you know, plain and simple. And she even agreed with me. So, I mean, you know, same thing. And poor Lauren. Now, Lauren, get back to Lauren. Lauren is just, again, total sweetheart, does a fantastic job. She actually, you know, was a little bit nervous when we first sat down. And then after 5 minutes, you know, she kind of relaxed. And then after 10 minutes or so, she realized, you know, this guy isn't the boogeyman that I was afraid of. He was. And,
yeah.
And he's actually here to help, and he wants to help and, you know, and get educated and know what's going on. So then by the next day, when I went and worked at Trago flight or the Avelo flight for Trago Dugan, she actually escorted me out on the tarmac. So her and I were standing on the tarmac watching the plane unload and watching the luggage unload and then plane, you know, luggage go back on and the new people get on. So she escorted me on the tarmac. So you're a great, great gal.
So you went out and just watched what was going on?
From the start to finish. So I went there.
So you had firsthand knowledge and understanding of what's going on.
I was behind the counter, and I'm watching them, you know, give boarding passes and give, you know, check bags and all that.
Yeah.
And then I went out and I toured the TSA area, and I was in there with all the passengers, and then I went out in the tarmac.
You didn't do any pat downs?
No, they actually, so, you know, hey, you're talking to the federal government here, right? I mean, so I was actually very, very careful about that. In fact, one of the manager for Trago Dugan, he's like, well, hey, you want to, you know, let's go outside. And I go, I probably need a safety vest, don't I? Oh, yeah. We better get you one of those. So I go, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I go, do I need to go through TSA before I go out there? Cause I haven't gone through TSA yet. And he goes, let me make a phone call. And it's like, let's follow the rules
follow
here.
The
let's
rules,
not
yeah.
do anything, you know, that's going to get either one of us in trouble.
Right.
So I believe as Lauren said, have TSA, you know, run the wand past him. So the TSA agent, they were all great too. They're all very nice people. And the TSA agent's like, well, I don't know why I'm doing this. And I go, well, just do what.
Just humorous.
You know. Exactly. So he runs the wand past me, and I wasn't carrying any guns or bombs or, you know, anything. You know, regardless of what they say in the Board of Supervisors meeting, I was not carrying unpermitted. So that was good.
You know. And,
yeah. So it was great.
Yeah. The, I've flown out of the Redding Airport a lot this last year, going down to Southern California. And you're right about the TSA people are pretty nice. And it's when you go to check in, the people at the airport are nice.
Yeah.
They're great people. Yeah. And to me, it seems as if Redding sometimes shoots themselves in the foot when you have employees that like working there. It's a good environment to go into. It's a nice little airport, you know.
Yep.
Hey, let's get some flights in and out of this place.
Yeah.
You know, and to have someone like Avello, I was really thrilled. I loved your interview, by the way. And I was thrilled about the fact that we had somebody fighting for that. Is there any, hopefully we get them back. If not, is there any kind of contingency plan of somebody else?
Well, yeah, so, well, I don't know about it. You mean as far as another carrier
another
coming
carrier.
In? Yeah, as far as that, I don't know anything about that. Now, they are in the process of hiring an airport manager because they don't have one right now. I won't go into that, but they don't have one right now. So they are in the process of hiring an airport manager.
Hopefully we have to do another show so you can go into it?
No, because I am actively wanting to work with the city of Redding, so I am not going to say any disparaging words whatsoever. Because I truly do want to help. I mean, I would love to make a joint authority, you know, airport. I mean, I would love to.
Great idea.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so our CEO, you know, speaking of our fantastic CEO, he worked in Winnebago County in Illinois, and he worked on their airport. I mean, he was very involved with their airport, and he ended up getting a freight. He ended up being like a O'Hara was in Chicago.
Yes.
Well, Winnebago was a smaller airport, but he ended up getting a whole bunch of freight contracts. Eventually, got Amazon to go out there, and they were running freight for Amazon out of his airport. So they were, you know, not as many passengers, but tons of freight. So, I mean, he actually increased the revenue for the airport tremendously because it made it a
Doesn't
freight.
Doesn't FedEx do that for us to a degree?
FedEx does fly out of our airport. And there, and when I was out there with Lauren on the tarmac, there was another plane that came in, and I'd asked her, well, what's that? She said, well, it's probably a cargo plane or it was a small plane, but it was probably a carrier, you know, of that. So, yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff I think that we can do with our airport. It's so much. And it's so, you know, when I was there working the Avello flight, I mean, I'm looking at the boards. I'd never heard of Kittle's Sporting Goods, you know, but there's a Kittle's Sporting Goods in Calusa, apparently, because they're advertising in our airport. And that was one of the things that we discussed as a board, you know, and with the Shasta County Chamber of Commerce, you know, we want to be advertising. I want to make that instead of, a Redding to Burbank flight, I would like to be considered a Burbank to Redding flight. We need to be advertising down in Southern California.
Right.
Come to Redding. Go to Shasta Caverns. Go to Shasta Lake. Visit Whiskeytown. Hike Lassen. You know, snow ski on Mount Shasta. I mean, we have, you know, fly fish on the Sacramento River. We have so much stuff to offer here.
Incredible stuff.
And people down there, I mean, if they can get on a plane for $100, come up here, rent a jet ski for a couple of days on Lake Shasta, and then go back home, I mean, it would be fantastic. And it's like, and we had that ability to do that. So that was what we were trying to do for the future, is we wanted to be advertising down there, come to Redding, make this a destination, come here and do stuff, and then we lose the stinking flight. So, and it's 150 people per plane. They've been pretty much booked, I don't know, for the last several weeks. I mean, booked 150 people. They had 140 booked on the morning I worked. But that was the day the computers went down. So United had canceled their flight. So by the time they left Redding, they were 150 people. It was completely full. Every seat in the plane was full.
Wow.
The next Monday, they were overbooked. You know, so I mean, it's like you're talking 150 people going out of Redding and 130 to 150 people coming into Redding, you know, three times a week. And
now that's nothing.
Now it's, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, we've got about 2 minutes left. Chris, any parting words for the folks?
No. Yeah, just, you know, thank God that that fire laid down on itself. And, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, but I'm feeling pretty confident that we're in a much better situation than we were a week ago. Let's put it that way.
Amen. Well, thank you for going out there and doing that.
Can we have you in maybe at least once a month to update us on some things with Shasta County? Would you be willing to do that?
Sure. We can do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a little more, depending on how much sleep I get.
Yeah, we can do that, absolutely.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you for
Chris
coming.
Chris Kellstrom, Supervisor District 5, Wynn Carpenter, Terry Raposa, and the Backward Hat Man.
There you go.
Time has come.
For 51.
All right. I think we need to get it done.
Amen, brother.
Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.